Instagram can be a complete business opportunity if it's taken seriously. It can be your office. You don't need a website. You don't need an e-commerce store. You can just drive sales and do everything on Instagram directly.
How much do you think an influencer makes?
The per lead can go anywhere between 8 lakhs to 10 lakhs.
What's the finest PR campaigns you've seen in recent times on Instagram?
I think it's Anand Ambani's positioning on the internet, especially with
organic reach versus paid reach. What's your take? Should we boost post or not?
No, we should not post because...
What are the top 5 Instagram tools? Why do brands fail on Instagram? Welcome to Grow Your Influence podcast. I'm going to be host today and you must be wondering, where is Saurav? Well, Saurav is on the other side answering questions on Instagram, and we're going to decode everything that's there to Instagram. So welcome to the show, Saurav.
Hey, thank you, Rishi, for having me. And I'm very excited about this one because for the first time, I'm not listening, I'm talking. So this is going to be exciting.
Super excited as well. And currently, you've been focusing a lot on Hindi Instagram as well, right? And that's grown like almost 35,000 followers in no time. So how's your experience working on the new account?
I think it's absolutely amazing because it's just 44 or 45 reels up there. And I could see it's reached almost 38,000 followers. So new account, new audience, fresh market, which is Hindi market. And I've learned that when you create content in Hindi, the Bharat market especially, it grows much faster than your English content.
Amazing. Well, that's a good learning to start with. So I have a certain few questions with me, which most of the people are asking these questions on the internet, and we would love to get the answers for it. So are you ready for it?
Yes, absolutely. Go ahead.
Should we boost post or not?
No, we should not boost post because it has a lot of limitations. Instead, you should run your advertisements using Meta Dashboard. You can run a click to WhatsApp campaign or a lead generation campaign or a traffic campaign to your profile. If not, you can also use engagement campaign. This way, you can do better targeting, including custom audiences, which is not available with Boost Post. You can do the right kind of tracking. And most importantly, you can tweak the campaigns whenever you want to. So I would suggest you to not boost post, but use Meta Ads Dashboard.
Lovely. I would love to add something to that. You know, you can't scale what you can't measure, right? So I believe with Boost Post, you can't measure, you can't document. And that is why you're recommending Ads Manager, right?
Absolutely.
Lovely. So also wanted to understand, how many Instagram accounts should a business have?
There needs to be 2 accounts. Number one for an individual who runs the business, and the second one is for the business itself. And from the individual's account, you should never promote your content so that you can have a good organic reach for your Instagram page. Whereas from your business account, you can promote your content. I have learned that when you promote your content on Instagram, it's more likely to kill the organic reach. So it's important that you have 2 accounts maintained, one for an individual and one from an advertisement or the business per se.
Lovely. And should they be talking about a lot of niche in just one account, or should it be focusing on one topic?
Yes, it's important to have your niche clarity, because when you keep talking about anything and everything, then you attract random audiences. I met a doctor yesterday, and this doctor has been talking about everything. Whereas this doctor is specifically known for a particular skill set. Instead of that, he's talking about anything and everything. So the confusion his audience holds is, what is this doctor's specialization? So you need to really understand that we don't go to a particular doctor. We don't go to any doctor for a tooth decay. We rather go to a dentist for the specialization. So it's important to be a specialist on Instagram than being a random person.
Fair enough. So yeah, we also do the same. We have a digital scholars account where we're just talking about growth on digital marketing. Then you got your personal account, which talks about Instagram. I got my personal account, which talks about AI and digital marketing. So we've picked our niche, and you know, we're just revolving our content around it. Yes, fair enough. So the next question is, will scheduling reels impact its reach?
Not really, because scheduling is an inbuilt feature of Instagram and it's been gifted by them to you. So why would they do so? it has been created so that people can peacefully go on a holiday, or they don't have to really worry about uploading their content. Sometimes people forget it. So it just helped them kill their anxiety with respect to uploading content. So I don't think it will tamper your reach. It's a myth. So please feel free to schedule your reel on Instagram.
All right. So, well, that's a good answer there. We move on to the next question, which is probably the world's most burning question. What's the three most important components for a viral reel?
The first important component is the hook. How do you hold your audience's interest in the first 3 seconds? So how quirky the reel is, or what's your opening line, or what do you show them in the first 3 seconds impacts the most. Second important thing is the watch time, which people generally ignore. When you try to create content, it needs to have good watch time. The more watch time it has, the more replays it has, the higher the chances it reaches to people. And the third important factor is to create multiple hooks in a video, like how you were possibly seeing this video with multiple hooks with respect to zoom in, zoom out, a lot of sound elements. So you need to create multiple surprising elements in your content these days, because that's what helps people in staying connected throughout the reel and then sharing it with their friends too.
Absolutely. We have a concept that we teach at Digital Scholar called as GHM, attention framework, right? Which is G for grabbing attention, H for holding attention, and then finally you try to monetize, which is either making them follow you or, you know, comment, or maybe just share that particular reel with somebody. So it's important that, you know, you cover all the three important aspects. Well, the next question is, what are the top 5 Instagram tools that you use or recommend?
I use InShot because it helps me in editing faster and also do AI integrations. Second is Captions on iPhone. It has amazing subtitles ability, so you can do a lot of integrations of subtitles, smart subtitles, GIFs, images. Number 3 is TapLink, which helps me in customizing the link in bio. The 4th is InstaChamp, which helps you in doing automations, makes your life easier. And 5th one is Canva. It helps me in adding cover pictures or highlight pictures or create some quick images for my feed.
Absolutely. I think I personally use all of them as well. And pretty handy tools there. Yes?
Absolutely. I think these are tools that all of them should learn and master it. It's very easy to learn. People just try to run away from them. But if you see, there was a time we needed designer, we need video editors. But today, you can actually do smart editing using your iPhone or the phones that you make use of. You need to master these tools. You don't have to really master those heavy tools like Adobe Premiere and all of that. You just have to master these mobile editing tools and makes your life super easy.
Absolutely. I think, I used to think Canva is just what, downloading a template and reusing it. But we have some amazing trainers at Digital Scholar, and when they were teaching small hacks inside Canva tool itself, I think it's a ocean there in terms of what you can do in design editing as well. So absolutely great insights there. Okay, so the next question we have is, does Instagram grid matter in 2024?
Instagram grid matters in 2024 because let's say you are a fresh account and your reel starts to go viral. When people come to your account and they say your grid is extremely organized, it just takes a fraction of seconds to follow you right there. And the second important thing is, when you are a aesthetic friendly brand, let's say you are running a boutique, then in that case, you need to maintain a good grid so that you can sell an expensive product to a premium audience.
Well, fair enough. So then how often should brands post on Instagram?
I think brands should post every other day on Instagram, depending upon what are you posting. You can post stories every day, but even if you make 3 or 4 amazing piece of content on Instagram, that's more than enough. And also, if you're able to create some 30 pieces of content and you maintain a grid, you don't have to often post it, especially when you're running advertisements, because people will see your ad, they will come to your profile, they will look at your content, and they will have they'll give a glance. And if they like what they see, then it will help them in taking a quick decision to purchase the product, especially of those products whose advertisements you're running at the moment. So it totally depends upon what your agenda is. If your agenda is to organically grow, then you post every other day. But if your agenda is to make people buy through advertisements, then you need to just maintain the top 30 pieces of content on your Instagram.
Fair enough. And as they say, you know, you don't have to force post it, right? You just don't post anything and everything. But if it's really useful and if it's
necessary
really adding
audience.
Value, right. I think you post twice, thrice or 100 times a day, it really doesn't matter, right? So we come to our next question, which is, you've spent almost 100 crores for your clients in ad spends. Organic reach versus paid reach, what's your take?
My vote would be for paid reach, especially for businesses that want to scale up on a very fast note, because organic may happen or may not happen. But with paid, you have assurances that you can reach to your audience, attract them, bring the traffic and try to sell to them. Organic reach is great, especially for business owners wanting to establish their identity. So that's why I always say have two accounts, one for your organic reach and the second one for running branding and advertisement campaigns.
And why do brands fail on Instagram?
Most cases, they do have clarity on what they want out of Instagram. They're very random. They post random things. Number two, they're not serious about it. They think just taking photographs from their phones and uploading it will solve the problem, but that's not the case. Number three, they just do not learn how to make things go viral. They are just all over the place. Number four, they don't have aspirations to sell every single day. They're expecting the miracle to happen. Number six, they don't understand how influencer marketing truly works and they don't want to spend right there. Number six, they have no clarity about the advertisements on Instagram. They just click on the boost post button, which is the most dangerous button to make use of. And number seven, most case, they have no purpose or goals with respect to driving larger sales, or they don't have that kind of an aspiration. So they just believe, oh, Instagram is free. Let's get something done there. That's not how it works. Instagram can be a complete business opportunity if it's taken seriously. It can be your office. You don't need a website. You don't need an e-commerce store. You can just drive sales and do everything on Instagram directly.
Absolutely. I think it makes sense. Most of the brands are just trying to get virality just because everybody else is getting, but they don't have a purpose and they don't have a strategic plan to actually get there.
Right.
Well, you know, there are a lot of people looking for cheaper goods on Instagram. How to market an expensive product?
If you are planning to market an expensive product on Instagram, you need to focus on everything luxurious. And when I say that, the choice of model in your photography, the photographer you hire, the venue that you choose, what does the model wear? How are you planning to do your product photography? How is your grid planned on Instagram? Who are the influencers being associated with this brand? Now, this is exactly what defines the pricing of a particular brand on Instagram. Having said this, besides all of this, one of the biggest metrics that defines the cost of the product today is the number of followers the brand actually has. If a brand has a lot of followers, people think, oh, it's a trustable brand. And this brand should possibly be a little expensive because a lot of people are following this brand. So that's also one of the metrics to look at. The expensive product is largely defined by the way the product is positioned. I'll give you an example. There are people selling lehengas in the market. There are people selling it at 15,000. So these salesmen just go ahead and they just showcase on their using their phones, ki 15,000 ka lehenga le lo and all of that. And then there are people like Abhinav Mishra and Sabyasachi who focus on having amazing models, and they plan great photo shoot. They do the right sound engineering for the same. So there's a lot of small detailing that goes in the making of those videos on Instagram. The more you focus on the quality and the creativity of the video, the higher you can charge for the same lehenga. Of course, your product has to be amazing for all of this that you do. So product plus all of this can actually help you increase the pricing of the brand or the product.
Lovely. That's a great answer there. We also had like a very luxurious jewelry brand, right?
Yes.
So can you tell us what were the steps that you did in exact order to make it go viral?
So I was working for a jewelry brand and I saw that they were just clicking photos using their phone and they were uploading it on Instagram. So the first thing, we figured out how to create hero photography for the product. So we chose certain product pieces that would be absolutely unique. And then we did product photography for the same. with a concept around it, and then we uploaded them and started to promote them in the market. The second phase of this was we hired models who were dusky looking model who could easily attract, or something very distinguished that people would not expect a model like that for a brand like this. So that's what helped brand position very strongly when they saw beautiful models wearing beautiful jewelry out there. It made the product look extremely exotic. And the third important factor was we hired the best influencers of the city to reach out to this particular place. But it doesn't stop there. All of this creates a lot of euphoria for the brand. But the sale starts to happen when you try to create a product like an exhibition or a product showcase or a gallery showcase or certain live sessions with your audience. That's when people come and experience the product, and the audience who have been following you will convert to become your visitors inside your showroom or in your exhibitions, and they start to take decisions to buy. So these are certain important things that I believe we did, and it just helped the brand acquire 100 plus new customers in a year. And for a jewelry brand, 100 plus new customer, a buying audience, is a big win because the billing value is very high. And the most important fact, these are people who keep coming again and again, and they refer a lot of their friends.
Right. And we also had people coming in from different cities and different countries as well for this particular brand, right?
Yeah. So we have learned one thing. When you go live on Instagram, a lot of people watch your live. And when you show your products to them in the live sessions, they take screenshots. Mm. Especially you have followers from across the world. A lot of Indians across the world are following many Indian brands. So they have aspirations to buy from this Instagram famous brands. They take screenshots, and there has been an incident when a particular NRI from US flew down to Chennai. The first thing that she did, she came to this jewelry shop. She showed the owner a particular piece that she saw in the live session, and she exactly purchased that one before she went to her friend's home. She came for a wedding and she wanted to gift this to her friend. So this was the part of her plan. So you understand that when you try to create an international experience or a very great experience for people on the Instagram channel, you can attract people from across the world and they take decision to make a purchase.
So you recommend live commerce, basically. That's the future.
Live commerce is the future of Instagram or YouTube. Many people ignore that. And you know it yourself, especially my mom. Like, our mom is not tech savvy. And she still watches somebody on YouTube every other day, and she decides to go buy sari from that woman out there because she goes live and she talks to people and she answers questions. So live commerce is a way to hold audiences' attention because people like to generally shop. Today, people are just sitting down and window shopping because, you know, when you go and shop on Myntra or for that matter on Amazon, it just makes you feel more anxious because, you know, you have to watch a lot of content and you exactly don't know which one to see and which one not to see. So people are always in their comfort. They like to watch a live show, 30, 40 minutes, and they want to see what is this person showing today. And they like to see the kind of questions people ask and what are the answers. So generally, somebody speaking their mind. So the questions that they have on the mind, either they shoot it or they see somebody else is asking. So they have a better experience and a more serious experience of buying.
Fair enough. That's a good recommendation, right? Which is live commerce is going to be, I think it's already there. A lot of brands incorporating, you take Myntra, Amazon, Nykaa, they bring in influencers and they're selling their products by, you know, getting them to do it live. So that's amazing. So wanted to know, have you ever seen, so this brings us to the next question, which is all about influencers, right? Influencer marketing is a big deal, right now, and it's been a big deal for quite some time. First question is, how much do you think an influencer makes, right? Let's say he's about 1 million followers.
An influencer makes anywhere between 10 to 15 lakh rupees per reel. It depends upon the quality of the audience that he has or she has. If a person has a lot of followers from the top tier city, then possibly that person is making more money. If the person has following from the 2 tier or the 3 tier or the rural part of the country, the person is making less money. So let's expect somebody has 1 million follower. then the billing of the reel per reel can go anywhere between 8 lakhs to 10 lakhs.
Wow. So that's more than what an IIM graduate would make.
Absolutely.
Okay. All right. So it's all about influencers today, right? It's all creators' economy.
So it depends upon what kind of influencer you are. You're a micro-influencer, macro-influencer, or you are a digital celebrity. If you're a micro-influencer with about 10K follower, then you are making about 1,000 rupees per reel to 2,000 rupees per reel. You are between 20,000 to about a lakh. Then you're making anywhere between 20,000 to 45,000 to 50,000 rupees per reel, depending upon the quality of engagement, the quality of people you have. And if you have people about 1 million, then you can go anywhere between 5 lakh to 10 lakh, depending upon the kind of audiences that you have. First important fact here is the popularity of the influencer matters, because today a lot of people have 1 million followers. But also what matters here is does the person or the influencer have a lot of followers from the top tier cities or the Bharat market? So if an influencer has a lot of people from the top tier cities, then he or she can actually command or have a good billing going.
Wow, that's some good numbers. Now, a lot of business owners, a lot of agencies want to hire the right influencer. So what factor should we consider?
The first important factor is, does the influencer really integrate the content in the most creative fashion in the style the person is already serving? So that's the first thing. Second, how much does the influencer take the effort to understand the brand and then try to create content for them? Because today a lot of influencers just randomly create content for the brands. Third, does the influencer have the audiences of the right kind? I was working with an influencer. She had about 500K followers. And this was a brand that was selling a lot of kurtis and leggings for women. But apparently, 85% of her followers were men. So this was a mismatch completely. So you have to always understand who's your influencer's audiences and what is the niche the influencer is serving. Because if you are going to work with influencer who are absolutely random just because they have number of followers, but they have no understanding about your industry and they're talking about it, then they may not have the right audience. For example, I was working with an influencer to talk about a launch of a sanitary ware brand in the city. And this influencer have always been covering places with respect to infrastructures, furnitures, floorings, etc. So he was a right fix for this brand. So please understand, instead of randomly choosing influencers on the number of followers, please learn, are their followers really interested in the values or the offerings that the influencer is making? And you will learn that through the percentage of engagement or the number of comments or the type of comments that the influencer receives.
So do the views on the influencer reels matter for brand campaigns?
Views matter, of course, because it just helps you define the reach of the campaign. So it's a great metric to look at, but it may not be an accurate metric. It may not be very definitively relative metric.
All right, so next question is, what's the smartest influencer campaign you've executed by far?
For Credai Frappro, Chennai's biggest real estate exhibition, we had influencer for three different stages. The first one was a teaser where they were asked to do a hand gesture and talk about this particular event and the excitement for this. The second one is where they created dramatic reel about their excitement for going for this event. And third one was their visit to this particular event on the day one, because it was a 3 days expo, and talk about the experience. So what happens? Their audience within a week is informed three times about a particular event, which makes sure or which confirms to their audience that this event is going to be really big. That's why this influencer is talking about it again and again. And that was one of the smartest integrations we did, which actually got us crazy footfalls at the event. And it's important for people to realize that when we work with influencers, we should not just work with them for once, but we should work with them for a long-term campaign.
Awesome. So the next question is, how to drive sales via stories on Instagram?
Create conversational stories. This helps you in engaging your audience. You can take the consent and then you can introduce the offer and then you can make them buy. This is exactly what I do. sometimes I also ask my audience, what do they want to see the offer on? They get to choose, and then I release the product at that particular price point that we have decided with the audience in the poll. And I create a scarcity there. I say only for 50 people and 24 hours. This way, I see more than 300 people actually buying the product within 24 hours. So you need to really learn to trigger the conversation, consent, engagement, and then introducing the product with the scarcity in the process.
Awesome. So the next question is, what do you think a business should have in their highlight section?
About me, clients, testimonials, work life, before and after, behind the scenes, frequently asked questions. These are some important factors and offers so that people can take quick decisions to purchase. Sometimes you can even place your top products so that people don't have to really discover all the products. They can just see the top products to take an informed decision to buy the product.
Makes sense. So which business page do you admire the most on Instagram?
I like to see Sabyasachi because of the standards that they have set on Instagram. They have been class apart from day one, and I think it's a very Instagram-made brand. The next one I like in the recent times is Abhinav Mishra because of the amount of creativity that they have put in their photo shoots and the amount of detailing that's gone in the sound engineering. And that's what makes the brand look extremely unique. These are two of my favorite brands where I see that Instagram can change the whole dimension for a business completely just on the basis of creating an aspirational value through showcasing amazing videos and a great setup. So it's my biggest learning that if you get your videos right, you can charge the price you want.
Awesome. So how to make the best out of an influencer marketing campaign?
So when you work with an influencer, don't choose them randomly. Have an objective through them. Second, you need to define a coupon code that they can introduce so that you can track sales. Or you can ask them to upload a particular link in bio or have an automation tool integrated so that their audience can comment and you can actually track how much sales have the influencers brought to you so that you understand, has it worked for you or it has not worked for you. So that's the second important thing. Third, you need to repurpose the content that they have created. Most people focus a lot on working with influencer. They upload the reel and wait for the sale to happen. Well, you have to understand, if you're working with an influencer and they have done amazing piece of reel, get the advertisement rights for that particular video, take that video and use that in your advertisements, especially in the retargeting campaigns, or take the advertisement rights for that particular reel itself. Today you get advertisement rights for the particular reel. And then as a brand partner, you can promote that particular reel in order to reach to the right audiences. I tested this with one of the brands that I work with. I was the influencer for a real estate brand called Casa Grand. I made a video for that particular brand where I spoke about how Casa Grand, being my client, have launched a property near my home. I showed the entire experience of this. When I uploaded this particular reel, I also promoted this reel in a 5-kilometer radius from where I was staying. And eventually, almost everyone saw this. So next day when my son goes to school, everybody's congratulating him, saying that my dad said that you bought a home. When my dad goes to his office, his friends and family members or relatives were actually congratulating him, saying that, oh, we saw Saurav's decision of investing in Casa Grand Mercury. So you have to also understand this, that just by hiring an influencer and making them upload the content and waiting for the magic to happen, it's less likely to happen. It's important for you to get the advertisement rights for that particular video. Promote the content to the right audiences so that a person has a different perspective about that particular product or the brand from a person they trust. And that's your job. And most people fail at it. They just keep hiring influencers and they just want them to talk about it. Sometimes you have to understand, people who create videos, they necessarily may not have the audiences from the buying community. They may have random audiences following them. So how do you make sure that your content goes to the buying community or your audiences for that matter? And that's why you need to make or you need to get an access for the advertisement and run the campaigns to get the best
Absolutely. So also wanted to understand from the same, what triggers an Instagram audience to buy through a page?
So one of the biggest factors that makes people buy through a page is the social proof. The more you show that people are enjoying your product or had a great experience buying it and have a great say about your product, this triggers people to take instant decisions to buy that particular product. So it's important for you to showcase your customers' experience inside the store. It's important for you to show your clients' result. It's very crucial to make a case study about the work that you have been doing. And in your process, you should always ask your client to give a video testimonial of yours. Or when you're selling your product, let's say you're a photographer and you're planning to do a wedding photography for a particular client, and you can tell them, hey, you can use photographs. You know, I would like to use your photograph. I need your consent. I would like to tag you and I'll give you special discounts on that. This way you get the consent from the client to showcase this photographer's work on your feed or the client's feed. So this is very important for you. So you need to figure out how can you do smart integrations like that. These are things that helps people take decision to purchase a product instantly. It's largely social proof that makes a lot of difference. And second thing that I see is the innovation. Especially you already have a product, you have an audience following you. They see there's something innovative. And you tell the story about the making of the product. You create that excitement in the minds of people. There's a lot of teasers about it. And then you introduce the product with a scarcity, saying that it's only for limited edition. Like how Sabyasachi did something with H&M. There were just limited pieces in the market. Everyone kept going to the site and figure out, oh, this is not available. And people are in the wait list to discover when will this product release and when will I go buy this product. So you see the excitement created and then scarcity created and making us feel, oh, I really want this product, but it's not available. So that's very important in your strategy.
Okay. So the next question is, what's the finest PR campaigns you've seen in recent times on Instagram?
I think it's Anant Ambani's positioning on the internet, especially with the showcase of Vantara and how this person has a great heart for wild animals across and how he's serving them and has a purpose in life. And then interviews where he talks about how his brother is Ram and his sister is like Mata. So these are ways that wins a lot of hearts in the country. So instead of trolling this time, people are actually talking good things about him because of the way the media tried to position him. And I felt that was a great PR campaign. And it was well done because it's the last time's narrative when he was engaged, people are trolling him, saying that money can buy anything. Mm. But this time they realized that the money has been used in the right way and this guy has a big heart. So that was Absolutely. Just before pre-wedding and that was very smartly planned stuff.
Right, fair enough. So this was pretty amazing, sort of lot of value bombs and so many questions. And this brings us to the end of this particular podcast. And we're going to end it with a rapid fire, wow. right? Which is, I'm going to give you two options. You guys just got to pick one. And we're going to go fast on this. Okay, are you ready for it?
Sure.
Awesome. So let's get started. Instagram Reels versus YouTube Shorts.
Reels.
Saurav Jain versus Social Saurav Jain.
Social Saurav Jain.
Instagram Live or Stories?
Stories.
Hashtags or keywords?
Keywords.
Organic growth or paid advertising?
Organic growth.
Saves and shares or likes and comments?
Saves and shares.
Short reel or storytelling?
Storytelling.
Repurposing content or creating OG content for each platform?
Repurposing.
If you had to change one thing about the algorithm, what would it be?
Don't be biased.
If Instagram disappeared, which other platform would you hop onto?
YouTube Shorts.
One Instagram hack that has worked for you?
Keep your reels shorter.
If you had a chance to start fresh on Instagram, what would you do?
I will create only viral pieces of content by studying what's going viral.
One crazy fan incident you came across on the gram?
Somebody proposing to me despite knowing I'm married.
One question you're tired of answering?
How to grow followers.
Three words for every Instagrammer who's trying to make it big?
Focus on learning what's going viral. Never give up. And try to evolve your creative skills.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Saurav, for doing this. We come to an end and we're going to see you guys in the next podcast.
Thank you so much, Rishi, for hosting me this time. And I hope you guys will enjoy it as much as we enjoyed this one. And most importantly, do not forget to subscribe to our YouTube channel. And there's this Instagram workshop, which I do. So the link is given in description. Go ahead and grab your ticket. I'll see you inside the workshop.